right. Happy Father's Day, Dads. You will look and you will see there is a sermon note sheet in your order of service. Hallelujah. This is your day today, Dad, so the focus is going to be on fathers today. It's going to be on you men today. All right. The spotlight, the spotlight. All right. I want to begin with a brief overview of the history of Father's Day and also answer a few questions concerning the celebration of Father's Day. Now, looking up the history, Mother's Day came first, but Father's Day wasn't very far behind. It's amazing what people can accomplish when they put their minds to good use, amen, and encourage others to join them in their cause. And our lives wouldn't be the same without so many holidays that we celebrate, and Father's Day is one of them, amen, amen. All right, well, who came up with the idea of Father's Day? Her name was Sonora Louise Smart Dodd. All right, she had four names going on. And she lived in Spokane, Washington. She was the oldest of six children raised by their father, William Jackson Smart, when their mother died during childbirth. Sonora honored and revered her father, and while listening to a Mother's Day sermon in 1909, she determined that there also should be a day to honor fathers. So she gained local support, she had a vision and she was able to share it, and she made her dream a reality 1 year later within her own city of Spokane, Washington. And then Sonora married John Bruce Dodd. She died March 22nd, 1978, several years after Father's Day became a permanent national observation. So she died after that. Well, why was June chosen? Because she chose it because that was her father's birthday. He was a June baby, so that's why she decided that. And with the support from the Spokane Ministerial Association and the YMCA, the first Father's Day was celebrated in Spokane, June 19, 1910. And when did the United States begin celebrating Father's Day? Well, in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge proclaimed the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. All right, do other countries celebrate Father's Day? Father's Day is celebrated in every part of the world. In the United States, Canada, and most countries in Asia, Father's Day is celebrated on the third Sunday in June. Isn't that interesting? Praise God. All right, there's all kinds of things we can do to make our dads and fathers feel special. And I don't know, did anybody get served breakfast in bed this morning or receive any flowers or gifts? All right, well, we just don't have to do it on this day. We can continue to honor our fathers, amen. Do acts of kindness, hallelujah. There's young people can take out the garbage, so dad don't have to do that. You know what day the garbage truck comes, so you can get that out. There's so many things. Do our chores, young people. Get along with our brothers and sisters. How about take dad out to dinner? How's that sound, dad? How about make dinner for dad? Terrence likes that. All right. There's so many ways that we continue to say thank you to our fathers and our dads for all that they do for us. Amen. Well, today, dads, I want you to realize what a tremendous impact that you have on your children. In spite of what the world may be trying to tell you, in spite of what you see on TV, at the movies, I'm telling you today, your children need you desperately. You are important, dads. And statistics on our children and their successes or lack of success, it just proves this truth over and over again. Children need you more than you could possibly imagine. But before we begin, I want us to join our hearts in prayer. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love and for your presence in our lives. And oh God, we just are so grateful. And we are so thankful for the gift of fathers and all that they mean to our children and and to our spouses and families, oh God, to our community and to the world. And Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak specifically into the hearts of your men who are husbands or fathers, oh God. Lord, that they would realize the tremendous power of influence that they have in their marriages and on their children and in the family extended, in the church, in the community, oh God. And we pray, Lord, that as we focus on this Psalm 112, that your men would be determined, would make that decision to become Psalm 112 fathers. So we give you praise ahead of time as we actively listen to the preaching of your word, that in our active listening, you're going to be transforming hearts and lives and families, oh God, this Father's Day. And we ask this in the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, who is able to accomplish what concerns us today. And it's in his name we all join to say, amen and amen. What's the title of our message for this day, saints? Becoming a Psalm 112 father. Karen did a beautiful job reading that for us, and I want us to look at that Psalm 112. And dads, I want you over the week to meditate every day. Just read through this Psalm 112 and just ask the Spirit to speak to you. Maybe take a verse. You might take a couple weeks and do one verse that you reflect on and just let it just savor in your heart and transform your heart and your life. Now, David is the author of this Psalm 112. Now, David was a man's man. Amen. We know he was a man's man. Remember, he was the brave lad who killed Goliath, cut off his head. David was a warrior. David was a family man. All right. He had the responsibility of a wife and children. And in this fact, it's one of the areas where David produced his greatest failures. His greatest failures were at home. And like most men, David allowed other things to distract him from the priority, everybody say priority, and attention that should have been given to his family. Well, we know that David was a businessman, a man with great responsibilities. He was one of the most successful kings of all of the history. He was a builder. He was an administrator. David was a spiritual man. Amen. Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. David was a leader in the temple worship. He wrote psalms and hymns of praise. And scripture says David even danced before the Lord. Now, David could relate to every man in this sanctuary today. He experienced everything that you men experience as a man. And he usually excelled in everything he did. Now, David can relate to us, and most of us can relate to him. Now, I want us to listen to what David says as he wrote Psalm 112. All right, now every day, 299,000 men become first-time fathers every day. Now they become fathers without a whole lot of training, amen? Without a whole lot of instructions on how to become a father. Well, Psalm 112, it tells us exactly where the whole process has to begin. So I want us to read Psalm 112 together. All right, I want this to saturate our being today. All right, saints, here we go together. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. they will have no fear of bad news, for their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. All right, saints, becoming a Psalm 112 father. All right, a Psalm 112 kind of father, a Psalm 112 kind of man. Well, today on this Father's Day, I want to challenge our men in four specific areas that I believe will help all of us become Psalm 112 kind of people, and especially Psalm 112 kind of men. All right, now I want us to listen carefully, amen, and be that kind of man. Just pray, Lord, I want to be the kind of man that's going to provide godly blessing to my wife and to my children. So be prayerful as we go through this message today. Now, the first area, men, is to what? Acknowledge the power of your influence. You really are very powerful. You have a very powerful influence. You have a very powerful influence upon your wife, a very powerful influence upon your children, because we do listen to what you're saying. We do love you, and we do need your affection. We do need your encouragement. We do need your support, and your giving it or not giving it will greatly influence and affect us. Amen. So acknowledge you have great power of influence. You have the power to be positive on your family or negative. You have the power to be upbuilding, or you have the power to tear down. You have the power to be life-giving, or the power to not give life. So just acknowledge, men, you have great power of influence. Now, the second is avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. All right, let's say that together. Avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. All right, there are some hazards that come along with being male. Now, you fellas, we know you talk about a lot of that and men who excel, and you've talked about the one look club that all are a part of. That's one hazard there. But another is ego. Has anybody heard anything about the male ego? Anybody? Okay. Sometimes it's called pride, you know. It boils down to pride, but sometimes you may think that all in the one, you're Rambo and Superman, Chuck Norris, and all kind of Albert Einstein. You're all of that wrapped up in one. Praise God, praise God. And so that pride, amen, can keep you from listening to others, or, you know, just going along and trying to hear what others are trying to say. For example, men, this is, if you don't agree with it, well, this is what I've experienced. What about, like, directions? Does every man here like to get directions, or do you kind of figure out? You say, what, you don't need directions? Okay. I think about none of you need them. Amen. None of you need directions. Oh, okay. Well, Peter says he does MapQuest. All right. But most of you all, you don't need directions. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Now, Pastor Ricky told me this story. It was so funny, and I just love it. I love it when I think of it from time to time. When they were growing up, they took a trip to visit some relatives in another city in New York. And when they got there, Aunt Helen was over here, and Big Charles was driving. And so they were looking for the house, and so they were having trouble finding it, and they just kept going around and kept going around. And then Aunt Helen, she finally says, well, Big Charles, she said, we're lost, because I don't think we know where we're going. And And he said, yes, I do. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm at. And then Rick's cousin, Nora, who always has the right thing to say, she said, you ought to know where you're at. We've been around this block 8 times already. You ought to know where we're at. He refused to ask for direction. So that's just a little sample, you know, that kind of pride, you know. But for all of us, our pride is really what drives most of our common mistakes and our common failures, for all of us, amen. We all have that pride that we have to just really fight against. And as Paul says, die daily. You got to get up in the morning and die to that pride, praise God. All right, so avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. And I would just encourage all men to go to Men Who Excel. You guys can just keep on having a good time together, amen, encouraging each other in your walk in the Lord. Now, the third is arrange the priorities of your life. Now, saints, I believe we see a scale of right priorities implied in the first 3 verses of Psalm 112. Look at verse 1. It speaks of a man's relationship with his God. Amen. Look at verse 2. It speaks of a man's relationship with his family. And then verse 3 speaks of a man's relationship with himself, his inner life, his character. Hallelujah. Well, we have a man's relationship with God, with his family, and with himself. Now, saints, this is a very good scale of priorities. And these seem to me to be the first 3 things that every man should remain focused on. Every father should remain focused on. All right? That priority must be your God. God must be your priority. That is verse 1. And also in Revelation 2:4, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus that he wanted to be their first love. Amen. Men, God wants to be your first love. And then in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. So fathers, men, the first priority you have in life is to be a godly man and to have a passion for God, a love for God, a desire to get to know God better and better and better, so that nothing could make you doubt the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So I want to ask you guys today, is Jesus Christ your first love, fathers? Is he your first love? Hallelujah. That's where it begins. Amen. Do you think about Jesus more than you think about sports? Good. More than you think about your job? Yeah, good. More than you think about recreation or having fun? Praise God. Do you give Christ first place in your finances? Praise God. God says tithe the tenth there. Are you doing that, dads? All right, I heard a little yes, amen. All right. Do you talk about God as naturally in your daily conversations as you do the latest iPod or computer, or praise God, or standing in the Cavalier or in the National Leagues? Or are you just as comfortable talking about God, dads? All right, do you have a hunger and a passion to know Christ better? Hallelujah. All right, men, you got to speak up now. Yes, amen. Thank you, Frank. Men, are you pursuing the knowledge of Christ through prayer, through the study of God's word, submitting yourself to the Bible, its teaching, and to the preaching that God speaks to you? Are you submitting yourself? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you all coming to Bible study and life sharing? Men Who Excel. All right. Here's an honest confession. Praise God, Frank. Everybody pray for Frank. Hallelujah. Praise God, Frank. And spiritual journey. That's where we're developing spiritual disciplines to get to know the Lord better and deeper, to walk with Jesus every moment of every day. Well, men, do you want to know who or what is first place in your life? will just evaluate who or what consumes much of your mental energy. Just think about what are you really are thinking about most of the time. That's really has first place in your life. Also, another easy way to see, open your calendar and look at that, and it'll give you a good idea. Who or what do you think about the strong investments in the kingdom of God? Are you investing in the kingdom of God? And so we need to reflect on these things because we see this in Psalm 112. All right, assuming your spiritual responsibilities. All right, well, Psalm 12 describes a man who finds great delight in God's commands. Woohoo! So, hey, fellas, are you finding great delight in God's commands today? Yeah, all right, praise God. It's the only way to really have abundant, joyful life. All right, so first of all, dads, your first priority must be God and that relationship with the Lord. All right, a second priority, it needs to be your family. All right, I want y'all to say that with a smile on your face, please. Family, say that, family, amen, hallelujah. All right now, men, you've got to make your family a priority. You got to spend some time. Everybody say time. You got to spend some time with your families. You got to meet the needs of your wife. Come on, say that with a smile now. Yeah. All right, got to meet the needs of your wives. Amen. All right, that was real weak. All right, we going to get there. You got to get in touch with your children. Praise God. You got to communicate godly values and spiritual truths to your families. Hallelujah. You got to lead your families into holiness and righteousness. And fathers, you have to express adequate affection to your wife, adequate affection to your children, and approval to your children. We all are looking to you, Dad. Well, by nature, most men are task-oriented, aren't you? And most men tend to find their identity in their work. Therefore, they tend to take their jobs way too seriously and at times neglect their families. A recent NBC poll discovered that by the time the average child is 6 years old in America, he or she will have spent more time watching TV than they will have spent talking with their fathers during their entire lives. That's scary. Well, maybe this is why the Bible gives such a strong and implicit instructions to dads on their responsibilities toward their children. Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5, it says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen. Dads, your children are starving for some unconditional love and approval from you, Dad. Hallelujah. So, fathers, please arrange the priorities in your life and just become this Psalm 112 father. Just high five yourself right now and say, just do it. High five yourself. Just do it. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord today. Amen. Assume the place of your responsibilities. All right, I see several places of responsibility for the righteous man right here in Psalm 12. And one is assume your financial responsibilities. The man spoke of in Psalm 112 was evidently very responsible with his finances. Verse 3, we see here is a man who is taking leadership of his household finances. Here is a man who is careful, wise, and frugal. He exercises discipline in his spending. Hallelujah. And I praise God for that. Amen. All right, man. I thank you, Pastor Ricky. You're so awesome with this. So we just know he gonna handle it. He got it. I don't worry because he's got it. Amen. All right, the next is don't miss the fact, men, that generosity is a major part of your financial stewardship. Because verse 5 says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. Hallelujah. Amen, men. All right, praise God. We gonna include your wives and kids in this too. Woo, yeah. Generous and lends freely. Amen. But to those in need in the church, in the community, making a difference generously for the Lord Jesus in the world. Praise God. And then we see making a difference by developing our character. You see that? You see the words used in Psalm 112 about this guy? He's righteous. He's gracious and compassionate. He's generous and giving. He's just and fair. He has great faith, great trust in his God. He is reliable and fearless. Woo, that's really awesome. How many want to be that one to a yeah, Peter, praise God. Well, may I make a suggestion to your fathers? Make a priority of developing your inner character and your inner personal righteousness. Hallelujah. Hassan, it's just a joy to see him in the day during the week, because I'll say, how you doing, Hassan? He says, I'm in divine order. Amen. It's good to be in divine order. Amen. Divine order. So, saints, love your family, men. Just bring joy to your family. Joy, J-O-Y, that's Jesus first in your priorities, then others, and then yourself. Amen. Praise God. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your kids because they need a dad, amen, that is there for them. And they need you, dad, to help them with their homework. All right, I want you to say hallelujah or something, dad. All right, if you can resonate to this. They need a dad to take a walk with them, a long walk. Anybody up to that? Okay, not yet. All right. They need a dad to get involved in their lives. You can say, woohoo, something. Amen, amen. They need a dad to go to school programs and parent nights. Amen, Peter. They need a dad who will talk to them when they are hurting. They need a dad to talk to them when they are confused. Amen, and need some guidance. Amen. They need a dad to tuck them in the bed at night. Hallelujah. They need a dad to pray with them and to teach them scriptures, the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Saints, I read a poem by Elrod Leaney recently, and it so moved me. And I wanted to share it with you today. And he is speaking of his son in this poem that he wrote. And I will tell you where you can look the poem up at. And it goes like this. One day when Bruce was just a lad, first starting out in school, he came into my workshop and climbed upon a stool. I saw him as he entered, but I hadn't the time to play. So I merely nodded to him and said, "Don't get in the way." He sat a while just thinking, as quiet as could be. Then carefully he got down and came and stood by me. He said to our dog, "Oh, Shep." And he looked at me, he said, "He never works." The dog never works. He never works. And he has lots of fun. He runs around the meadows and barks. He barks up at the sun. He chases after rabbits and always scares the cats. He likes to chew on old shoes and sometimes on mother's hats. But when we're tired of running and we sit down on a log, I sometimes get to thinking, I wish my daddy was a dog. Now I know you work real hard to buy us food and clothes, and you need to get my sisters those fancy ribbon bows. But sometimes when I'm lonesome, I think it'd be lots of laughter and fun if my daddy was a dog and all his work was done. Now when he finished speaking, he looked so lonely there. I reached my hand out to him and ruffled up his hair. And as I turned my head aside to brush away a tear, I thought how nice it was to have my son so near. I know the Lord didn't mean for man to toil his whole life through. Come on, my son. I'm sure today I have some time for you. You should have seen the joy and sunlight in his eye as we went outside to play, just my son and I. Now, as the years have flown and youth has slipped away, I've tried to always remember to allow some time to play. When I pause to reminisce and think of joys and strife, I carefully in my mind turn the pages of this wondrous book of life. I find the richest entry recorded in the daily log is the day that my small son whispered, "I wish my daddy was a dog." Hallelujah. That is deep. And when I was thinking about my own dad and the memories that I have, one of the best memories I have was him, first of all, teaching me how to ride a bike.